Welcome to the Nations Church Wangara podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hey, can we appreciate our worship team? Thank you so much. Woo, come on, give us a massive, wow, incredible worship today. Incredible worship. Well, you know, when I was 16 years old, like many teenagers, I had a very sort of selective criteria of who I was willing to be friends with in my life. Does anyone remember back to being a teenager and kind of having like a very selective, like a narrow window of who could like be friends with you? For me, if you wanted to be friends with me, or if I was even interested in being friends with you, you had to be in some way into skateboarding. You had to at least know about skateboarding. You had to at least be able to have a conversation about skateboarding. And also. You had to like, you know, bands like Nirvana and grunge rock bands. If you weren't into that, you know, I just wasn't interested in having a conversation. And this is before I met Jesus, by the way. So I wasn't just like an arrogant Christian. This is before I knew the Lord. And so I had a very narrow window of my criteria for potential friends was very narrow. So inclusive, right? But I was highly critical of anyone who didn't know songs by Nirvana or didn't know what the latest 411 skate video was. And if you don't know what any of that is, that's okay because it was a pretty niche thing. And hence, I didn't actually have that many friends. And if you weren't into any of that, then I wasn't interested in getting to know you. But then I met Jesus and praise God, everything changed. I met Jesus and everything changed. Firstly, everything changed inside of me. Everything changed inside of me. I had a new heart. I had a new life that was birthed within me. And it was the very life of Christ that was awakened within me. I'd been born again. And as Paul so beautifully puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what happened to me when I was 16. And so everything changed within me. As a young person, I gave my life to Jesus and this radical change on the inside of my world, who I was. Jesus came into my life. The Holy Spirit came into my life. He made me brand new. And so everything had changed within me, but things were also starting to change around me. I came into this place called the church and was instantly surrounded by a diverse community of people from all walks of life. Just look around for a second and just see that what I'm saying is true. You see people from all walks of life. You see people from different ages, different races, different generations. And I came into this place called the church. And, you know, I don't think anyone was into grunge rock, Nirvana. No one was rocking out to Smells Like Teen Spirit in the room. But they were busy rocking out to praise and worship and the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And I didn't really find anybody in the church who looked like me, sounded like me, was into the things that I was into. But God was surrounding me with a whole new community of people and something was shifting on the inside of me. Everything changed within me. And all of a sudden, everything was changing around me. And it was amongst this crazy new bunch of tongue-talking, Jesus-loving people called the church that I discovered something that would completely change my life. And that something was called fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship sounds like a really old-fashioned word, doesn't it? Sounds like some really old-school kind of old-time word. And that's because it actually is old-school. It's as old as the church of Jesus Christ, and it's an incredibly important practice that was modeled to us by Jesus and then committed to by the early church. And it's something that God is still calling us to practice today with the same level of priority as Jesus and the early church placed upon it. And so today, I want to speak to you for the next few moments about the spiritual discipline of fellowship. The spiritual discipline of fellowship. Are you ready to hear a bit about fellowship today? We've been talking about spiritual disciplines the past few weeks. We talked about prayer being a spiritual discipline and fasting. We've been in a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I've been so encouraged by the different expressions of fasting that I've seen in people and some of the ways that you guys and our community have embraced fasting and said, I'm going to choose to go without in some areas so I can have more of God or devote myself more fully to the Lord. It's been beautiful having our 6 a.m. prayer meetings. And for all those who made it out, shout out to you. It's been an awesome time of just pressing into prayer and fasting at a greater level. And last time I preached, I talked about memorizing scripture as a spiritual discipline. Hey, did anyone jump onto the memory verses that I sent out and memorize a few? That's so good, so good. It's such a powerful thing to memorize scripture. And we've been talking about spiritual disciplines. And so today, I want to talk to you about the spiritual discipline of fellowship. And it is a spiritual discipline because it's not something that happens automatically. It actually takes intentionality. It takes persistence. It takes commitment to live in fellowship with other believers. Can anyone say amen? It doesn't just happen automatically. It doesn't just drop into your life without you doing anything. You have to choose fellowship, and that's why it's a spiritual discipline. Like any discipline, it has its peaks and valleys, right? Moments of bliss and moments of challenge where you feel like giving up. That's where the discipline factor comes in. Anything that is beneficial to you but has moments of feeling like you want to quit it, even though you know the reward, takes discipline to stick at it, right? And that's why fellowship is a spiritual discipline that Jesus calls us to. Man, I just got to turn my iPad on to do not disturb because I got messages flying in at the top of my message and I just can't deal with it. So keep texting, going crazy because now I've just shut you down. Fellowship is not about pure comfort and convenience, right? It takes moments of sacrifice, but it's worth it because the reward far outweighs the cost. The reward far outweighs the cost. It's also something that Jesus practiced and modeled for us. You know, all of these spiritual disciplines, we're actually modeling them off Jesus. I don't want to follow the disciplines or the traditions or the ways just of man. I want to look to Jesus and say, what did Jesus do? If Jesus had something in his life as a spiritual discipline, I want to know about it and I want to put it into my life. Why? Because I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm an apprentice of Jesus and I want to learn from him. Amen? I want to learn what he did and what he was about. And the Bible shows us that Jesus practiced and modeled for us fellowship. He calls us to follow him into the fellowship of the saints, to live in community as he did, as Jesus did. Don't you love that Jesus never calls us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do or committed to doing? Amen? Jesus is the greatest leader by example that we have. And I love what Rick Warren says about this calling to fellowship. He says, we are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and formed for a family. And none of us can fulfill God's purpose by ourselves. None of us can fulfill God's purpose by ourselves. We can't. We're created for community. We're formed for fellowship. We're formed for family. Amen? And our purpose in God is realized and fulfilled within the confines and the expression of fellowship and family. Is that good news to somebody today? And so Jesus modeled this to us. And let's talk about Jesus for a second before we go to some scripture to really set us up for today's message. But Jesus had different expressions of fellowship. We see in the Gospels that Jesus had the 72 disciples, the 72 followers. And he committed himself to them for fellowship and discipleship. But let's not only focus on discipleship, because discipleship took place in the context of fellowship. It wasn't like Jesus sent out on Instagram the time and place where he would be for a discipleship class. Come on, somebody. And then everyone met there and he had a quick hour lesson and then went home. No, Jesus actually committed first to fellowship, and then within the context of fellowship, discipleship happened. And those who also committed into the fellowship, they then received his discipleship. And Jesus not only had the 72, but he also had the 12. He had the 12 that he spent even more time with in fellowship. He ate with them. He went on the road with them, road trips. He went on road trips with them. He slept like in the same vicinity as them. They set up camp. They set up tent. They gathered food together. They made plans for their day together. He taught them. He prayed with them. He worked with them. He fellowshipped with them. And then he had the inner circle, the three. Peter, James, and John, who were his inner circle of fellowship. So Jesus had the wider community. He had a little bit more of like the connect group kind of thing. And then he had the three, which were like just those intimate, closer friends or closer connections of fellowship that he went even deeper with. And by the time we get to Acts chapter 2, we have 120 who are in the upper room who were devoted disciples. And so that group of 72 actually grew as time went on. And Jesus had community. Jesus had fellowship. And Jesus modeled this to us. He committed himself to a bunch of people who were from diverse backgrounds and walks of life, people who would not normally be seen together. If you've seen the TV show The Chosen, you'll remember just how real the struggle of fellowship was for the 12 when they first started following Jesus. Anybody seen The Chosen? It highlights and peels back like the covers, so to speak, of what we see in Scripture to imagine what it would be like to be with this group of people who were so diverse and so different, who came from different backgrounds, different value systems, different occupations and different family contexts, but they were all brought together, this ragtag bunch of guys, to fellowship with Jesus, and Jesus committed himself to them. But I love how The Chosen shows us the struggles, the humanity of that. So many scenes in The Chosen are dedicated to these guys working through their issues with each other, questioning why Jesus would bring this one into the group or that one into the group, right? Wrestling with their differences and their own insecurities. All of this happens within fellowship. It's one of the things I love most about the series. And like I said, it's like peeling back the layers. But this was all part of the plan of Jesus. And he called them not only to himself, but he called them to each other. Amen? Jesus didn't just call people to him. Although he did that, that was the first calling. Join me, follow me. But within that calling, he called them to each other. To each other. Let me give my boy Rick Warren one more quote, because he's just got so much gold on this topic. He says, real fellowship is being as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a big statement. That's a big challenge. He says, real fellowship is when we are as committed to each other as we are to Jesus, our Lord. And this is what Jesus really modeled. He called Peter and James and John to be committed to him, but also committed to Matthew and Thaddeus and Nathaniel. Come on, somebody. He called these guys to commit to Mary and Martha and to his own mother, Mary. He called John to look after Mary when he was hanging from the cross. He said, now consider her to be as your own mother. This was all part of the fellowship. And this was like an incredible calling, not only to Jesus, but to each other. And much of Jesus' teaching was about how to have a relationship with God, but much of it was also about how to have a relationship with each other. He modeled and taught them how to do fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Now, not only Jesus modeled this, but the early church, when Jesus ascended to heaven, the early church continued to live out this way that Jesus had shown them. So we're going to jump to Acts chapter 2, sorry. Let me just grab a little drink here. you guys all look so good today. So beautiful and handsome and warm and friendly. Why don't you just give yourself a hand? You guys are amazing. I love Nations Church Wangara. You guys are the best. Acts 2, 40 to 47. We're going to skip a little bit here because it's a long section. We're going to take out the sections that speak to what we're talking about today. And so in Acts 2, it says, "And with many other words, he," being Peter, "testified and exhorted them." He's preaching to the crowd, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly. Somebody say, continued steadfastly. In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Someone say, fellowship. In the breaking of bread and in prayers, now all who believed were together. We just pause there for a second. Now all who believed were together. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, gathering in the temple and gathering in homes. Sounds a little bit like Sunday service and connect groups. Are you with me, church? They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Isn't that a beautiful depiction of the early church? In the beginning days of the church, they were together. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. There's a few things here that the early church was committed to. And we don't have time to unpack them today, but there's things like prayer, breaking bread or the Lord's Supper, the doctrine, in other words, of the apostles, in other words, the teaching of Jesus and the teaching about this new covenant of Christ that had come. They're committed to the word. They were committed to prayer. But the Bible says they were committed steadfastly to fellowship. To fellowship. Why? Because they'd learned this from Jesus. Jesus had shown them this spiritual discipline of fellowship, of coming together, of being together, of growing together. And they continued that steadfastly. Steadfastly. In other words, they didn't approach it in a mediocre sort of way. They didn't kind of push it off to the peripherals of their priorities. They didn't kind of make it something that they would think about sometimes. They were steadfast in their fellowship. Isn't that beautiful? Steadfast. I mean, in other words, they weren't letting anything stop them. You know, I want to give you a biblical definition of fellowship as we go on. I'm going to get to a few purposes of fellowship for you in just a second. We're just kind of setting the scene here. The biblical definition of fellowship is a deep and committed community of believers who gather together to worship God, grow in their faith, support one another, and serve together. Let me read it one more time in case you wanted to write that down. The biblical definition of fellowship is a deep and committed community of believers who gather together to worship God, grow in their faith, support one another, and serve together. And the word fellowship actually comes from the Greek word koinonia. And its meaning is this: partnership, joint participation, association, community, contribution, social engagement, to communicate, to fellowship, and communion. Communion. Let's just read some of those words one more time. You ready? Its meaning, koinonia, partnership, joint participation, association, community, contribution, social engagement, communication, fellowship, and communion. That's some pretty big words in there, right? It's a loaded definition. You know, as we read this, it's really hard to fit these fellowship definitions into a casual approach to attending church. These are all words that speak to commitment. Would you agree? It's hard to fit that definition into a more casual, laid-back approach. It actually really lands into commitment. And that's why they continued steadfastly. That's appropriate language because fellowship requires a steadfastness, a commitment, a continuing in. Amen? It calls for that by its very definition. And so the Bible is really clear that this communion, this fellowship is about a commitment to each other, just as we've made a commitment to Jesus. I love this. You know, this word koinonia in the Greek language is actually the same Greek word where we get the word communion from, for partaking in the Lord's Supper. It's the same Greek word for communion when we have the bread and the wine as it is for fellowship. Same word. The word communion in the Bible, it literally means, as we go deeper into the meaning, it means the share which one has in anything and participation. The share in which one has in anything. And so through communion, let's try to unpack this for a second. Through communion, we share, somebody say share, we share in the finished work of the cross. Amen? Through communion, we share, koinonia, we share in the finished work of the cross that Christ accomplished through his crucifixion, through the shedding of his blood and the break of his body for us at the cross. Amen? Would you agree with that today? Through communion, we share in that. We have our share in the finished work of the cross, all that Jesus did for us. And so in the same way, fellowship, same word, koinonia, same way, fellowship, through fellowship, we share in the body of Christ here on earth. The blessing of his body is shared through fellowship. Amen? Let me just say that one more time. Through communion, koinonia, we share in the body of Christ, the Lord's Supper, the finished work of the cross. Through fellowship, koinonia, we share in the body of Christ, which is right here before us. I get to share in you. You get to share in me. Fellowship is about sharing with each other and sharing in each other. We are the body of Christ. Amen? Amen? So we share in each other. Fellowship is something that believers share between each other because of how we are united in Christ. True biblical fellowship cannot be shared with the world until they are in Christ. Friendship, yes, but fellowship, no. Fellowship is between believers and followers of Christ. And so why is it important that it's a spiritual discipline? Well, firstly, because it's a gift to us. Fellowship is a gift from Jesus to us. Because we're united in Jesus, we have each other. We don't have each other because we go to Nations Church. We don't have each other because we just happen to, you know, roll up. No, we are in Christ spiritually. We're made new. We're new creations. We belong to Christ. We're the body of Christ. Therefore, we have each other. We share each other because we're the body of Christ. And those who are not believers in Christ cannot experience what fellowship truly is, and from a biblical point of view, but they are invited to believe in Jesus so they can enjoy. Amen? This fellowship is an open invitation to everyone, but the only way to have fellowship is to be a follower of Christ. And so we see this beautiful invitation in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I'm just going to read verse 3 to start with. 1 John 1, I'm getting my tongue tied. 1 John 1, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? I'm feeling a little under the weather here. Give me a shout if I'm preaching, okay? I love you guys. 1 John 1, John says this to those who don't yet know Jesus. He's writing to those in the region where the church is, and he's writing to those who are still exploring Christ. He says, that which we have seen, Jesus, and heard, Jesus, we declare to you, why? That you also may have fellowship with us. Through believing in the one we've seen and heard, he starts the chapter by saying, that which was from the beginning, we have seen, we have touched, we've handled the word. He's talking about his testimony that he walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He followed Jesus. And he's saying, I'm sharing to you about the one I've walked with so that you also may have fellowship with us. In other words, we want you to be a part of this. We want people to be a part of this community, but it only comes when people first accept Jesus. Amen? In following Jesus, now they are brought into the fellowship of the saints. And we want every single person in our city to be a part of the fellowship of the saints. This is not some kind of exclusive group, but you can only be a part of it when you are translated into it through believing in Christ and made alive spiritually by Jesus. Amen? Then you are part of the body and you get to experience this beautiful thing called fellowship. And this word koinonia, it speaks of closeness and intimacy, to share something special between people that creates a bond, a deep connection that's far deeper than the surface level. So fellowship, I want to say this today, fellowship is so much deeper than attending a Sunday service. Fellowship is deeply spiritual. It's deeply spiritual. It's not the same as just hanging out with friends. Because remember our biblical definition, it's about a deep committed community who worship together, grow in their faith together, support one another and serve together. You know, I'm so down for watching NBA with my friends and eating homemade pizza, but that's not necessarily fellowship. Are you with me? It can be part of it, but if that's all that it is, then it's friendship. But when we come together and we watch NBA, but we worship together, come on somebody, and we open the word together, so let's grow, let's wrestle the scriptures together, and we serve together, and we commit to each other, supporting one another because of Jesus, then that becomes fellowship, and that is the gift that God gives us through fellowship. Let's go through real quickly, in the last few minutes we have, some purposes of fellowship. Why fellowship? What's the purpose? Well, the first purpose I've put down here today, these are some thoughts. It's not an exhaustive list today, but the first purpose I've put down is to encounter God. One of the first purposes, I believe, fellowship is to encounter God. To encounter God. Let's keep reading 1 John 1, verse 3 to 4. That which we've seen and heard, we declare to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. True fellowship is about coming together to encounter the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Together. True fellowship is about having an encounter with God together. Why do we fellowship? We fellowship to encounter God together. Matthew 18, verse 20. It says, Jesus said, for where two or three... Have I got any two or three here in the building today? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That's the words of Jesus. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. You know, there is absolutely a personal presence of God that we have with us always in our secret place, whether we're on a mountaintop or at the bottom of the ocean. David said, where can I go from your presence? Right? There is no escaping that personal presence of God. But there is, according to Jesus, also a corporate experience of God's presence when two or three gather and come together in fellowship to worship God. Right there in the midst of that moment, there is a guarantee that His presence will be felt. It's not a wondering, we're not hoping for it, it's a guarantee. The moment we gather together and begin to worship Jesus, He is there in the midst. Isn't that beautiful? And He's there in a corporate expression. We experience Jesus in a personal way, absolutely. But there is also a corporate encounter. And that's why gathering on a Sunday is so important. And that's why things like conference is going to be absolutely out of this world. Because this is the corporate gathering, the intensity of saying, I'm coming together to worship in fellowship. We're doing this because we're being obedient to God to gather. His presence will fill those rooms, those moments. There is a beautiful presence of God that is corporately felt and experienced and encountered when we come together to gather. Amen? So the first reason I'm saying today is the purpose is to encounter God. The second purpose is to own your place in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16, it says, He makes, and we heard this morning as Brooke read it out during our other segment of the service, and it's so beautiful. I love what the Holy Spirit was saying in that moment. But here it is again. He makes, the Lord makes, the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. But listen to the language. He, the Lord, makes the whole body fit together. The Lord is in the business of fitting people together. like perfect Lego blocks just snapping together. Actually, that's a bad example. I want to actually retract the Lego block example. Let me give it to you a little bit more accurately. So he gives this analogy of the body. How many people know that your body is knit together in such a way that just blows our mind, right? Like, and not just the exterior, not just the hand and the foot and the head and the ears. And they're the obvious parts, but what about the organs and muscles and tissue and all of the veins and the vessels and the blood vessels and the antibodies and all, like, all of the things going on, right? It's absolutely, like, we can agree with the psalmist, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, amen? Absolutely mind-blowing. People still can't, medicine still can't fully work out the eyeball. Like, it's just too advanced for humans to fully understand it, right? God has created us intricately and woven together. And this is the same analogy that God is using for being part of his body. When he adds people to the body of Christ, he's not actually just laying a brick here and a brick there that you can just take it off and move it over there. No, he's actually weaving you in to a body called the body of Christ. He's weaving you in such a way that now you've been grafted in. It's like, whoa, how did this happen? Like, I'm seamlessly connected. Now I'm connected and my finger can speak to my brain and this finger can do the things that I'm thinking and everything's connected, right? Signals are flowing, everything's connected. That is what it means for him to fit you together in the body. It's not just a random brick on a wall. Amen? You are actually fitted in carefully, precisely by the Lord into his body for fellowship. And, you know, Acts 2 talks about them being added to the Lord. The word added in the Bible is like, can mean like adding an ingredient to a mixture in a recipe. How many people like to cook in this place? We got a couple of people. Recently, I've been trying my hand at cooking a little more, and I've been trying to get into it and, experiment. And, you know, I love making bread dough. Like, I love making pizza dough. I talked about pizza before, but like, it's true. I like to eat a lot of pizza and make my own dough and do my own thing. And so when I add the yeast and all the flour and the oil and everything, and you give it a mix in the Thermomix, and out comes this beautifully combined mixture that you can't see the individual grains of yeast anymore. I can't see the oil. I can't see the flour. I have something new. And what's been added has now become one. It's become something beautiful. This is what it means. When you add an ingredient to a mixture, you can't just go and take it out again. Are you with me? When the Lord just adds you to the body, you can't just go and like, I'm not going to be part of it anymore. No, he has added you to the body. You belong now. You are mixed in, woven in. And that is a beautiful thing. And that's what fellowship looks like. I'm going to give you one more and we're going to finish. To experience growth. The purpose of fellowship is firstly to encounter God. Secondly, to own our place in the body. God wants us to own our place in the body. Own it. Amen? Own it. There's so much more in Ephesians 4, but it talks about how when every part does its special work. To experience growth. It says, when every part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that a great picture? So that the whole body is growing. I love what Brooke was saying this morning. You know, I need you and you need me. The person sitting next to you needs you, and the person at the back of the room needs you, and the person up the front here needs you, and vice versa. When we supply our special part, our special work, which I want to emphasize, just being in the fellowship is a huge portion of the special work. Can I encourage you? The special work is not when you just come and serve on a roster. That's beautiful, and that's amazing, and that is amazing. We need that. But sometimes we can relegate our special work to our roster position, but that's not what fellowship is about. Serving with our gifts actually comes out of fellowship. Fellowship is where my relational connection, my community connection is paramount. And because of that, oh, I can also play guitar. I can serve you when we have times of worship. Are you with me? And so I encourage you that your special part is bringing who you are into the community and being present. And God wants to bring growth to your life and to the body. Growth in character. Growth in character. You know, when I was 17, 18, maybe it was 18 years old, I went on my first missions trip to Thailand. And at the time, we had a pretty large young adult ministry, or people in sort of coming out of high school. And we took about 17 young adults on this mission trip with one youth pastor. With one youth pastor. And I remember, like, these are all people that I fellowshipped with. I loved, you know, pretty much knew most of the crew. But I remember when we got on the trip and we started setting up camp in these different places to stay for the night and stuff like that. Man, my fellowship commitment was challenged to the next level. I started experiencing things in this tight-knit community of young adults that I didn't know I would experience. I was deeply challenged. And as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron, right? Well, we kind of coined a proverb that said, as sandpaper smooths out the imperfections in wood, so does the fellowship of a friend. Are you with me? So does the fellowship. And so we started, me and my friends, man, there was a couple of people in our group that just were like really coarse sandpaper. You know how sandpaper has like different degrees? And you get like fine sandpaper, like 400, 1200. But then you got like really coarse, like 80 grit. And it's so coarse that, man, you could shave back that wood, right? You got some big knot in the timber. You just get the 80 grit on there. You could shave that thing right back. And I started to experience that God wanted to shave some rough edges off my life through fellowship. Come on, somebody. Through fellowship, and it was uncomfortable, but what it did is it produced growth in me. It produced growth in me as I committed in. I could tell you so much more about it, but we're out of time. There's so much more to say about fellowship, but today I want to encourage you that there is a price when it comes to fellowship, and that price is being willing to say yes to fellowship, yes to community, yes to being a part of the body, which may mean saying no to something else, which may mean saying no to other activities so that I can be in fellowship to worship with my brothers and sisters, amen? So I can be there to grow, so I can be part of this community that God's planted me in. There is a price, but there is a payoff. The payoff is belonging. I'm going to invite the band to join me. The payoff is belonging. You belong in the family of God. You belong in the family of God. In a world where sometimes it feels so hard to figure out how to fit in, God has already fit you in to the body of Christ. He's already fit you in. You belong, with multiple exclamation marks, because God has fit you into the body. Is that good news to somebody today? Fellowship is a place of grace, where mistakes aren't rubbed in, but they're rubbed out. Fellowship happens when mercy wins over judgment and justice. And I want to encourage you today that you belong. The payoff of fellowship is growth, encounters with God. There is so much that God does as we commit in to fellowship. And so in this moment, I want to encourage you just to really consider, how steadfast am I when it comes to fellowship? Is God calling me to up my level of continued steadfastly? Is God speaking to me about upping my level of allowing myself to belong in the body of Christ? We need you, and you need us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Wangara.